we get things underway by welcoming in from 98.5 the Sports Hub in Boston, our friend Ty Anderson. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how's it going?
Having a pretty good Monday so far. I think that's, well, it's the result of watching some really fun Sunday night hockey. I love the outdoor game. I thought that was great.
Yeah, honestly, I kind of went into it thinking that, all right, this is maybe a little bit too gimmicky. They've overdone the outdoor game. But once the sun went down, I you know, once you had that nice sunset, it became very picturesque. It became quite a sight, and I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to, honestly. I think this has been a problem for the NHL in recent seasons, that they've overdone and they've overextended themselves when it comes to the outdoor games. But ultimately, that Sunday night game, as you mentioned, I mean, the perfect time spot, you know, it wasn't midnight like it was on Saturday night, and you got a good game out of it as well.
Yeah, that's it. You didn't have to wait 8 hours of delay, so that made it a little bit more enjoyable than it was for folks the previous night.
Yeah, and that's sort of, I think, you know, with these outdoor games, I think you test a person's, you know, what's your patience versus your interest level, right? Like how patient do you want to be to watch this event that you've seen a billion times? And I know this is different, no fans. It's on a golf course, basically. But again, it's one of these things they've done so many times now that the general public may say, okay, midnight, yeah, you're losing me there, sorry. But a 7:30 game, you know, 8 o'clock game, closer to eight, with the, they did a little bit of a delay there, really worked out for the league, I thought, last night.
Well, it was a great performance from the Bruins, led yet again by David Pastrnak, who's just the king of the hat trick these days.
Yeah, he's just phenomenal. I mean, when Philadelphia closes their eyes and they have a nightmare, they see David Pastrnak now, I think. It's just, he's been phenomenal this year, especially against Philly. But this really is just, it's amazing to think that he was supposed to be returning in March. You know, it's February 22nd or whatever it is, and here he is. He's scoring at a greater pace than he did last year. He's unbelievable. I think he's probably the best pure goal scorer that I've seen, at least in my, you know, era of watching and covering Bruins hockey, a dynamic talent, and he hasn't missed a beat. And that line, especially, is just so powerful now. You saw them reunited yesterday after one game apart, and again, they didn't miss a beat. They were all over the Flyers all night long, like they have been over teams all season long.
And when it comes to nightmares, I have to think the guy tossing and turning the most is Carter Hart. You posted an incredible statistic involving the Bruins going up against Hart.
Yeah, so he's allowed 20 goals on 127 shots from the Bruins this year. He's allowed 18 goals against the other against all the other teams in the division combined. They have owned him this year. It's been remarkable, and it's really a rivalry flipper, in my opinion, because if he doesn't break out of this and get his game right against the Bruins, how can you have any faith that Philadelphia can hold the candle to Boston's playoffs? You go back through these teams and their recent head-to-heads, their recent, you know, season series and whatnot, they've been close. They've been very close. And Carter Hart has a big reason to do with that. But the Philly defense lost some pieces. Niskanen's the biggest one they lost in the offseason. They have some holes in their lineup right now. But if Carter Hart posts an 850 against the Bruins like he has this year, he's been under 850, actually, the Flyers have no chance, because that's just too great of a hole to work yourself out of. Go back to the Flyer days when they had Brizgalov, and after that they had Steve Mason. Goaltending's been an issue for Philly for a long time. They think they have their guy, but unless he plays at his level against the Bruins, this is not going to matter at the end of the day.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Well, that 99-second burst of three goals was pretty amazing, but really that whole second period, was that the best hockey the Bruins have played this season?
It's definitely up there, and I think what makes it impressive, and you mentioned the 99 seconds, look at the goal scorers, right? You have Charlie Coyle, you have Trent Frederick, you have Nick Ritchie, and the Ritchie goal is off of John Moore's shot. I mean, that's secondary scoring. Those are your depth pieces helping you out and alleviating the pressure that the Bergeron line often feels. So that's why I look at it and say that was really important, because we haven't seen that as much as we need to truly buy in on this team and believe in this team being a true contender. Look at Lightning last year. They had contributions from all over their lineup, right? So the Bruins need more nights like that, right? More nights where it's the third and fourth line getting on the board. It's Coyle sort of waking up and playing to his level, his standard. in elevating the Bruins along in that line with him. So that was what made that impressive, in my opinion.
Speaking of the Bergeron line, are there really people out there that want to see that broken up?
Well, the belief is that if you do that, you can have a greater balance, right? If you put Pastrnak with Krejci and DeBrusk or Richie, whoever's on the left side, and you put someone else up there on the right wing, that everything's going to be fine. They're not going to skip a beat. But, you know, I wrote this today. It's sort of like taking a hammer to your engine because you have a flat tire. It's just, I don't really think that the Bergeron line should pay for the sins of roster holes elsewhere. I think that line is so good and has been so good for so long that you want to keep that together. And I think Cassidy has wanted to keep that together. I mean, look when they need to win. Look when they need to win a series, to win a game. He puts that group together. That's not going to change overnight. So I would rather focus on building out that second line, finding that winger that you've looked for 7 years, and fix it that way. And you don't rob from the best line in hockey because you have a hole in your second line. Address the hole in the second line. You know, you keep making these sort of lottery ticket trades for guys like Andre Kasha, Marcus Johansson, Drew Stafford. The list goes on and on and on. At a certain point, you just got to find that guy. You got to find that right fit there that doesn't leave you saying, we got to take away from the best line in hockey.
Well, it's a great night for the Bruins, but there is a bit of a downside, another injury for the team.
Yeah, Jeremy Lauzon is the latest defenseman to go down here, and that leaves them without their entire opening night left side now between Grizzlick, Zboril, and Lauzon. Kevin Miller also missed yesterday's game as well. They don't believe that's going to be a long-term thing, but you never know with his knee, honestly. Go back to April 2019, we thought it was going to be day-to-day. He didn't play for a year and a half, almost 2 years. So if that's the case and they're out four guys, Steve Camper becomes the next guy to go in. That would be the number 11 defenseman on your depth chart, basically, to go in. And it would mean an increased role for Juro Vaakanainen, who played 23 minutes yesterday in his first game of the season. So they have some options there. They can survive it right now based on how they've built the lead in the standings. But you got to get one of these guys back soon because they're all very important pieces to the operation here.
Bruins off until Thursday when they take on the New York Islanders. It seems crazy to ask this after they played so well last night, but is it tough? What's the challenge like of trying to find any kind of rhythm when you play and then get several days off?
Well, it's difficult because your timing's off, right? And look at the schedule this year, right? Not a lot of practice time for a lot of these teams because of the condensed schedule. I believe it was originally 56 games and under 120 days. So that was a grueling schedule. So you don't have a ton of practice time. And the practice time you do have, you really want to maximize it, but without creating a burnout effect. So I think just having, you know, that routine has been difficult too. You can't leave the hotel when you're on the road, so that creates a little bit of tired legs, in my opinion. So it's been tough for these teams to have the stop and start sort of progress here. So I expect them to have a spirited practice on either Tuesday or Wednesday to try to get themselves back in the game mindset. But it's been a problem. You know, you go back to that, they had the 5-day layoff against Jersey on Thursday. Not a great effort. They had a 5-day layoff on their first game at MSG. They win it in overtime, but a really rough start for them. So they need to figure out how to get their energy where it needs to be from puck drop amid these long day offs, these long off days, I should say.
And what's going to be a couple of keys for them against the Isles?
Well, the Islanders, I think one of the biggest pains in their behind has been Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and that goes back to the Ottawa days. You know, back in 2017, when he was on the Senators in the first round. He's a guy who's been a real thorn. I mean, he plays like Bergeron, right? He's that two-way, feisty center who shuts you down at one end and make plays at the other. So they're going to need to find a way to neutralize him, I think, especially watching him shorthanded. He's so aggressive. The plays he can make are really impressive. So I think that's a guy you have to watch for. But also, Varlamov's had a good run here against Boston these last few seasons. So maybe they luck out and they get Sorokin, the prospect. I believe I'm saying his name correct. If I'm not, I apologize. But so it's just really just down the middle and in net, in my opinion. So I think you can get looks against the Islanders, but they are stingy. So you got to make sure they count when you do get them.
Ty Anderson reporting on the Bruins for 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. We appreciate it as always, Ty. Thanks so much, and we'll catch up with you again in a couple of weeks.
Awesome. Sounds great, Rich. Thanks for having me.
That's Ty Anderson on Downtown.